Welcome to another episode of Building a Digital Future. We are talking about what organizations can do in-house to gain experience, improve their experience, and ultimately win more jobs. In previous episodes, we have been talking about different milestones and what organizations need to do in terms of focusing on critical business development requirements to make sure that they're making best use of their position and their role and responsibility and utilizing resources properly. This episode, we're going to focus in a little bit more on the third milestone, which is the milestone where organizations are in full swing of things. They have adapted a new software and they are winning jobs and they are delivering jobs. And there is usually a ratio of 2-to-1 projects to every architect in these organizations who are reaching this third milestone. It means that the technical administrative workload for these organizations is usually quite high. And these organizations usually start to think about employing a person to take ownership of the technical administration for the business at this stage. This is usually what triggers milestone 3. And the person the organization is usually looking to hire is a BIM manager of some capacity. As the organization at this milestone is quite successful already with, you know, delivering the projects and having their software resources set up, and they might even have, you know, the BIM execution plans and the responsibility. There might be some coordination between the process and the technical requirements, or that is the next thing that needs to be developed. And that's why the BIM manager usually needs to come in as an employed person to take this to the next level. The question that the organization needs to ask at this point is pushing the boundaries of more technology, more process, more standards, more of that BIM tick box exercise type of thing, is that going to make a huge difference? In the end, what each business needs is more clients, more contracts. So is that really going to make a difference, focusing on that? What we need to ask ourselves is, now when we have our organization, you know, pretty much working, let's say it's working to 60% efficiency, where do we put ourselves? How do we make sure that the industry see that 60% value? And how do we put ourselves out there to make sure that we are winning trust and winning more business based on what we already have? We can keep investing as much as we want to, but if we don't utilize what we actually have, then it's pretty much, you know, a waste of investment. And what I have seen over the years is that many organizations are reluctant to market their capabilities. They usually see the BIM thing, if we're calling it that, as a necessary evil that needs to be done. And then they are implementing some software and then they are winning some projects and they have some efficiencies in terms of design team meetings and maybe some clash detections. And there's a clear benefit in working in 3D. They seem like, yeah, this is working for us now. And if you ask these organizations, where are you on your BIM journey? They all say, yeah, we do BIM. We're a BIM office. Okay. If you're probing a little bit further and saying, okay, but are you having issues with some technical things like geo coordination, for example, or how many projects do you have per staff member? Or are you on any frameworks or anything to do about, you know, how efficient and how well the resources have been established? There's usually some holes to be discovered, which is quite normal. And that's fine. We can still address those things. But getting on a framework or even setting up a marketing campaign of highlighting the benefits that you do bring to organizations and bring to the developers and the investors in terms of what you're doing, and bringing your digitalization to a little bit more of a forefront, not to take over your business and not to make it all about BIM because you want to be architects and engineers, but highlighting that as an added value that you bring to the projects as part of your business. And a lot of architects have the thing on their website, you know, the BIM tab on the website, and we have the standard explanations that BIM is a central part of our design products and we are using XYZ resources. And yeah, it's the same. It's almost like a copy and paste job from every organization. But having a little bit more of a sophisticated marketing strategy behind it, without it sounding like you are BIM compliant first and architects or engineers second, but you are architects first and you're bringing value, not in terms of ticking the tick boxes of BIM level 2, but what it actually means for your business and your projects and the people you're working with, what it actually means. I don't see any organizations approaching marketing in that way. And I think that is a missing link in the industry, because it's clearly bringing value and you're clearly investing in the business with these type of technologies and processes. So why not highlight that in a smart and functional marketing strategy? I think that's a missing link. Another thing that I come across frequently is that either the organizations are not part of frameworks, or they're trying to get on frameworks, but the application for getting onto framework is based on outdated information. And it's great that an architect is an architect and an engineer is an engineer, and it's great that you have this experience with these projects, and it's great that you know how to make hospitals or residential, but everyone applying to be part of the framework is saying the same thing. And if you have this experience now with your investments over, let's say, you know, 2 to 6 to 8 years, maybe even you've been spending kind of building this resource, you should utilize the added value you bring with these type of resources into your applications for your frameworks, and even in the bidding process. And especially with today, with AI, setting up custom GPTs for enabling you to respond to bidding processes much, much faster and better by training a GPT on the requirements for the bid in itself from an architect's point of view, but also from a digital construction ISO 19650 compliance and the values that that brings with you into the framework and into these projects. That is something that I have never seen anywhere. And it only happens when me and my team bring that up with our existing clients, saying, actually, have you considered this? And then we do that thing and we get good results out of that. So overlooking these type of extra avenues from exposing yourself to the value that you do bring and the benefits that you have seen with what you are doing, but not making it too generic BIM language or ISO 19650 language, I think some effort should be put into making that communication into your network and into your industry to bring your value up. And from experience, the reason why I'm saying this is that when we have done these kind of things, and it's done anonymously, it's not very sexy way of doing BIM, if we're calling it that. And it's no real immediate satisfaction of doing these kind of things. It's quite dry and boring because everything is happening in the background. But it's when all of these extra things that you do is lining up and it's adding to the overall value, and you are starting to deliver your projects and you're sitting in meetings and you hear people saying, I'm blown away with the quality and this is amazing. I never seen anything like it before, or this is the best work we've seen in 10 years. When you're starting to get those type of comments, that is the proof that you are doing something right. And those type of comments doesn't happen in every single meeting. Those comments happens in meetings where you have gone out of your way to bring value and expose yourself, that you are the people that brings that type of value to your peer group, to your industry, to your networks, to your clients. And that is how you grow your trust in the industry and highlighting your brand, that these guys is something, you know, to look out for and a benefit to have on your teams. So frameworks, getting onto frameworks and also applying to frameworks in a different way and exposing and adding a new type of language with digital construction, very, very important, and running marketing campaigns on the value that you bring. Not necessarily email marketing campaigns where you're saying, buy my service, but marketing campaigns on social media, let's say, where you talk about your things, but you're adding the value of this extra thing that you're doing. Because the next logical step of the third milestone is to go into position of applying for the accreditation. That's the fourth milestone. And it might be a couple of years between, you know, the milestone where you are realizing you might need a BIM manager and you want to start to expose your capabilities. To get to the point where you need to do an accreditation, let's say you need 2 or 3 years. This is the time where you are looking at, you know, earlier we talked about what are the critical business requirements that you need in your organization to fix right now, like fixing the software, because that's causing issues in your business. Now, at this point, if the software is working, if you have your process streamlined and everything. And now you're going to ask yourself, why are we not winning more jobs? Or why are we losing jobs? And who are we losing to? And are you charging for something that other organizations are not charging for? It's like Kobe, for example. If you are charging extra for delivering Kobe information, that is something that is other organizations rapidly going to stop doing. And there's something that you need to stop doing too, because delivering Kobe information should not be an extra cost. That should be an added value you bring to the organization or to the project at no extra cost. In fact, adapting an ISO 19650 compliant workflow process technology should actually reduce the fees. It should be cheaper to deliver a project like that than traditional projects. So if you can get it to a position where you have excellent resources, excellent project and risk management on your projects and your business, and you highlight the value you bring into the industry through your frameworks and through your application forms and through your marketing campaign, and at the same time, when you are putting in your fee proposals, you're not increasing the fees because of BIM or because of Kobe or because of any of these new digital requirements. You're actually just keeping it, this is the new normal, and this is our fee that has always been, you know, with inflation included. That's going to show the industry that you are not hyping up the whole digitalization thing, thinking that this is a way of making extra money. This is just the way that the industry and the world is working right now. And you are fully comfortable in that. You're not going to lose money and you're going to add added value. And you're going to highlight your brand and your organizations as someone that's trustworthy and people want to have part of the team. I don't see any of this in any organization. And I think it's a highly overlooked area of business management. So, if an organization now at this milestone three that we've been talking about is, you know, embracing my recommendations here of marketing and frameworks and all that stuff, the thing that the business needs to focus on then is to move closer to the last milestone. I think if an organization has got to this point, the next logical step is to get an accreditation. And providing that the technology is working and the processes are in place and you have a constant stream of projects and, you know, the cash flow allows for it, what that organization should start to look at are the other business operations kind of sections, if you like, other than technology. And one thing that is a trend, as I've started to notice a trend, is that the quality of construction drawings has a tendency to decline if we are overestimating the value 3D modeling brings to the actual design. Placing a door in a wall is great because it updates views and schedules and so on, but it's not design. It's not telling us how that door actually interacts with that wall. And if something happens to the conditions of the space where the door is leading into, the door might need to change. And placing that door is not design. Placing that door is 3D modeling. It's software operations, okay? And you don't need to have an architecture degree to do that. What you need to have an architecture degree to do is to understand what the design of that door actually looks like and is practical and functional for the use of the building. And the software doesn't do that for you. But there's a tendency now with 3D modeling and an industry, a generation in the industry starting to get used to 3D modeling and basically turning in from architects to software operators, overlooking the design element. So they need to be a little bit more focused on getting back to design, I think. So if you're at stage three and things are working, focusing on design with the teams, because that is in itself going to reduce risks to the project, because if we have a poor design going to site, that's going to be a huge cost implication for the project, okay? Other things like the bidding process we talked about a little bit, but HR is something that needs to be addressed as well. So if we are looking to employ a person, then we need to make sure that we're employing this person for a specific type of role. What is it that this person is going to do? And what are the skills requirements we need from this person to fulfill this role? What we need to stop doing is to say, we need a Revit technician, or we need a part two architect, or we need someone with some sort of title, we're not really defining what this person is supposed to be doing. And then this person is employed and then sitting around on a chair for 2 weeks, have nothing to do and just costing money. So we need to make sure that we are lining up positions based on needs and requirements on the project. And I know there is a difficulty in timing this in terms of finding the relevant person and lining it up with the timeline of the project, and then projects can cancel or put on hold. All these things can happen, but the role we are recruiting for needs to have a specific purpose, and it needs to have a long-term purpose. And this is part of an ISO accreditation. What are your recruitment and HR strategies for employing and building this person's career so it's suitable for the person, but it's also suitable for the business in terms of reducing risk and cost and so on to the business? So if that is not lined up, then HR is probably something that needs to be addressed too. And the more areas of the business you can address in advance of applying for the accreditation, the faster the accreditation process is going to be. But thinking that we have Revit and we have a BIM execution plan and we have a part two who is now an information manager, and that's sufficient for applying for an accreditation, it's not. It's going to be maybe not a fail, but it's going to be close to a fail. But showing the accreditors that you are thinking along these terms, all aspects of the business, how do we reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce risks to the business as a whole in each aspect, that is what's going to make you pass an accreditation. And that, once you get that accreditation, that is a huge benefit in the credibility that you have as an organization and getting into framework and be able to bid on ISO required projects that requires an accreditation. If you already have that in place, it's going to be a huge benefit to the business. I think once the business reaches this third milestone, there needs to be a bigger understanding on, okay, software is up and running, process is up and running, technical teams are up and running. Now what do we do? And this is the bigger umbrella of the business that needs to be addressed in sections. Another thing that is worth mentioning here is that having a quality assurance in the organization that is outlining what we expect projects to look like from this specific organization, our brand, our quality, our standard. Do we have a structure for that? So an architect coming in new to the organization knows that they're going to be working on this residential project, and this is how we, an organization, expect our drawings and schedules and 3D views and everything to look like when it leaves the office. It gives the architect something to validate against before they issue information, rather than making their own judgment based on their own standards and resources that might have saved on the C drive and saying, yeah, I like this, I'm going to send this, but it's not in line with what the brand is trying to achieve. So branding and marketing and building trust and exposing yourself into your network and your local market, I think is critical once you have got to the position of milestone three, where you have your technical aspect under control. So after all that, to summarize this episode, I think it's very important that business owners steps away a little bit from the hype of BIM and thinking that, you know, everything that we do architecture and engineering, and then now we're also forced to do this BIM stuff. And so we try to do that, but then really we're just doing architecture. And this other things that are happening is kind of happening on the sideline a little bit. I think it's very important to integrate this thing. Let's not call it BIM. Let's stop using the term BIM and digital construction. Let's stop using the hype words and instead expanding on what the business is about. And the business is about architectural engineering, but we also do all these new things that enables us to improve on things, to reduce cost and reduce waste and so on. Yeah. And those things, those added value things, is not taking over your purpose in the world, but it's letting other people know that actually you're doing great, you're doing really good things here. And those good things that you are doing can and will rub off on other people and bring value to the projects that you are involved in. But you need to tell people that, because people are not going to know that, because everyone is then thinking, yeah, we do architecture, engineering, or building buildings. And then this BIM stuff is happening. And yeah, we all know about what BIM is. Someone is using Revit and we have a BIM execution plan. It doesn't really affect me, but you know, it's good for them. It's not about that. It's about exposing the benefits and the value that you are bringing as a business to build trust and, you know, communicate that into your network, into your local market, in a way that is non-BIM centric, but project centric. In the next episode, we are going to start to talk about how all of this that we've been talking about in the last few episodes, how all of this applies into the real world, the real project delivery world.